court. Today's daf is daf tzadik beit, and we're starting right at the halak of perek hamocher perot. Let us begin right at the top of the daf hamocher perot lechavero mizaran valot samchu. So here we're talking about somebody who purchased basically things that could be either eaten or planted. He plants them, and they don't grow. Bafilu zera pishtan, certainly nowadays flaxseed is very popular as a food, and certainly at the time its primary usage was for planting pishtan. Nonetheless, eno chayav b'achrayutan. Since he never had defined the usage that he wanted it to be as seed, it was perfectly usable for food, and therefore it's not the responsibility of the seller to make certain that it's going to function as viable seeds. Is it still viable protein? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, it's not clear whether this is a addition to the Tanakhama, or this is his own pshat, this is the Gemara is going to discuss, that zeronei ginash einan ne'echalein, if we're talking about the type of things that are not edible, or that people don't ever eat, like carrot seeds and so on, so that's not spread on food, then it's clear that the purchase was for planting. In which case, the seller would be chayav b'achrayutan. At that point, he would have to be able to sell seeds that actually are viable and that can be used for growing. Now, lamaisa, this is only practically applicable if we know for a fact that the person who had the seeds planted them properly and everything else was done correctly. Or it turned out that we have actual proof in analyzing the seeds that they're not viable seeds. But otherwise, as Tosis points out, the seller can always say, those are perfectly good seeds, you're a lousy farmer. So we need to have our facts correct. But we're assuming that we know, however we know, that these seeds were not good seeds for planting, they're only useful for eating. And therefore, in that case, you would be able to get your money back. Itma. Hamocher shor lechavero, v'nimtza nakhan. Somebody who sells now a shor, again a shor, could be used for two purposes. A shor could be used, that's how we see immediately, it's nogea our Mishnah. A shor can be used for plowing, and a shor can be used for shechting and being eaten. It turns out that this shor is a nakhan, so that it's an ill-behaved shor, and therefore it's not usable for plowing. So the man comes and he wants his money back, saying that you sold me a shor, I'm unable to hook it up. So Rav Amar is a mekachtaut. Rav says this is no good. He gets his money back. Clearly he wanted the shor to be usable. V'Shmuel Amar yochol omar lo l'shchita machartiv lecha. He still, Kentaina says Shmuel, you never told me that you want the shor for working. You told me I should sell you a shor. If you wanted a shor that was only usable for working, I mean, so say so. Therefore, you can't come back. And Tainan said, Mekach Ta'ut, I was selling it to you to eat. We're going to see. We're going to, we'll discuss all of this. Es the Gemara v'lichzi, I gav edezav l'nachsata than l'nachsata. I l'radia l'radia. Why don't we see what the... We're assuming, obviously with this question, that we're talking about a small town and the seller knows the person who bought it. And therefore asks the Gemara, look, I mean, doesn't it make a difference whether this guy, I mean, for instance, he might be a butcher. I mean, if he's a butcher, then clearly the guy had a right to tell him, I assumed, that it was being sold for shechita. On the other hand, if he's a farmer, and he's not a butcher, well, why would we think he's going to butcher a shor? So doesn't it depend on the context in which the seller has to assume the buyer is buying it for us? Says Gemara, of course it does. It would only be talking about a gavad azavan ha'achi b'la'achi. So the guy is a farmer and a butcher, or he's a householder, which he sometimes uses this, sometimes uses that. But if that's the case, says the Gemara, lich, no, come on, Rich. Lich say dummy hechinino. Why don't we see how much money he paid, no? Now, that's a little bit of a problem, because we would see how much money he paid. We had in the Gemara before about the question about whether dummy was considered to be a reliable indicator of what the intent was. Remember, the case was when somebody bought a team, whether it meant the actual animals or whether it meant the oil that was used for the tenant of the bakar. So we said, you can't look at the price. I mean, it was machlokas, but certainly that was a dasar. Here, Tanya's Rashbam, that's completely unrelated to that issue, even though it appears to be exactly the same. Because over here, we know for a fact that this guy is going to be able to use it for this or for that. And so fine, if that's the case, look and see which one it was in context of the value. But in that case, remember that the person was not established as being a person who would have used the word tzemet to mean the bakar. There are people that use it. So therefore, to say there are people who use it, we're going to be able to place him amongst those people and claim that that's what the understanding of this, not. Over here, we know he's roy for both, as we just established. So, the guy's going in, we can see. He's certainly buying an animal for working purposes. It's worth a lot more money than for shechita. Why would somebody shecht an animal that he's paying double the price that he would for a meat animal? So that, of course, the Rabbanim would agree is a good raya. Must be, says the Gemara, the only place where this would be valid was where the price is the same. That there was a shortage of meat, and indeed the price of meat went up so much that it was the same price. Same price. Said, who the heck cares? What? He's claiming it's a mekach tovah. He wants his money back. I mean, he got the same value. I mean, what are we arguing about? So my nafkamina, another nafkamina is the tircha. When Rav is saying it's a mekach ta'ut, he's saying, look, you're telling me I got my money's worth, but this is not what I want to buy. So therefore what? I should go and put an eBay ad on. You take care of it. I want my money back. I don't sit here wondering what to do with this animal. So you're right. In terms of value, it doesn't make any nafkamina, but in terms of who's going to go to the tircha of selling the animal to get the money, that's your problem. That's not my problem, according to Rav. According to Shmuel, he's saying, no, it's your problem. You bought it, you keep it, you sell it, do whatever you want. So that would be the only nafkamina. Says the Gemara, but even that needs a little bit polishing. I mean, echidami. Idaleka lishtalume mine. If the guy doesn't have any free cash, so then even Rav would be made at it, he'd be pretty dumb to give the animal back. I mean, so then Leakif Turabizuze, he should keep the value of the shor for himself and sell it. I mean, what is this? He's going to be, I mean, on principle and end up not getting his money. The Amre Inchi Min Mari Rishotech Pari Yifra. Guy owes you money? Take Subin if necessary, but don't sit there and wait until he's going to pay you back. Let him pay you back in anything. At least you'll get your money. Now, here's a big question. There's actually some Shaila of the Girsa. Some have the girsa of lahan huzuzi. Id letnu lahani zuzi. Not id lekalish talume. Which is one of the ways that the Rabbi Hanan understands the sugya. It's only if the money that was paid is still there. So now he's going to be able to recapture the money that he paid. But if other money is there, you wouldn't be able to get other money because the person has a right to give you back Afilu Subin, if he even does have money. Now that's a big machlokas. In fact, you remember we discussed in other circumstances the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam that there's three dargas in terms of Nezikin, Balchov, and a Poel about those issues. Can you lechatchila offer him Shove Kesef Ke Kesef? You have to first offer Kesef. The Rashbam holds that from the Gemara it's clear that basically if there's any money available, you could have gotten it. So it's only the leka lishtalume mine. Because, I mean, otherwise, what are we saying, the amre inchi? You understand, it's not a da amre inchi, it's a pasuk. If we learn out that anything is considered to be made of, and that shavet kesef is ke kesef, what are you saying, da amre inchi? If he doesn't have any money, then this is what he can pay you. It's a little bit silly to say there's a popular saying, take. It's nothing to do with a popular saying. Therefore, it seems very reasonable that the meaning of the Gemara is this. Be'etzim, if he had money, you could take the money. But he doesn't have money. So now what do you want to do? You want to say, well, I'm not taking the shor. You take the shor. When you get money, give it to me. That would be pretty stupid. Kiri amri inchi. So then the amri inchi indeed becomes meaningful. So in practical terms, a rav is really telling the guy, no, no, stand on principle. Don't sell the shor. Let him worry about it. One of these days you'll get your money. Yeah, like heck. So therefore, it's not reasonable that that would be the machloket. You're right, says the Gemara. It's talking about that the guy has cash, or he has the same cash, depending on what shita we hold. And Rav holds it's a mekach ta'ud. The reason he holds it's a mekach ta'ud and you get your money back is because he says, Bataruba azlina. You go according to the rov, and most of the time, people buy shvarim not for shchita, but they buy shvarim as work animals. And therefore, ruba is laradya, it's for working. And since it's laradya, so according to Rav, the nature of rov does not allow the mocher to be to'ein that he should have said something, because he says, I did. That's the rov. I assume that we can rely on the rov. But Shmuel says it's not a mekach ta'ut. Why? Because ki azlinan bata ruba bi isura. The mamona lo. Rov has no meaning when it comes to monetary transactions. You have to define buying and selling. And the rov doesn't define anything. It just tells you how to look at things li'achar ha'maisa, but that's the gabi isur. Here, it's not going to tell me that I can define what it was that I was buying because of a rove. Therefore, forget about the rove. Now, what did you want? Did you want it only for this? Then say so. You didn't say so, it means you left it open. Say, so what do you mean I left it open? But don't most people mean that? Who cares what most people want? If you wanted to say something, then you should have. It's not an issue of most. That's what Shmuel is saying.
So therefore, he's multiple his rights for getting a return of something?
There were no rights.
There
were never any rights. You bought something without further specification. There's no reason for us to assume that specifications mean anything other than a shor. You got a shor. What's your problem? Now, we have five rayas that are coming up. That's our siman over here. Isha, Eved, Shor, Shvarim, and Perot. But we'll start off now with Isha. Raya number one to Rav Shmuel's position. Meitzeh. Famous case of an isha shenit almanah nitgarsha. So now it's 50 years after the wedding, right? So she tainas, now there's no ktuvah, either she lost the shtar ktuvah, it's in a place where they don't write a shtar ktuvah, and everything is just going according to the Tanai Beidin. She claims, he omer betula neseti. She claims that she got married as a virgin, and therefore she's supposed to get 200 for ktuvah. V'hu omer lo. It's not true. This was a second marriage. Amanana satif. So therefore, you only get 100. So im yeshedim shiatz abihinuma or roshaparua. So then ktuvata matay. So if we can have witnesses that she was wearing that veil that betulot wear, that allow her to doze off in the middle of a boring ceremony. Rashbam says hinumas from the Lashon Mitnam Nemet. Go to sleep while the rabbi is giving his speech. So that was only a minute for the betula. Or if she wasn't covering her hair, she obviously hadn't been married. So then her ktuva is matayim. Now, does that not show that taima deika edim, haleka edim lo? So the only way that you can bring a raya to how much money she's supposed to get if there's witnesses. But if there's no witnesses, she can only get 100. Why? Why don't we say, I mean, certainly most marriages are first marriages. So, lema alecha harov anashim, verov nashim betulot nisot, and therefore she should be able to get 200. So that seems to be a clear raya that when it comes to money, we don't go according to the rov, which is exactly what Shmuel was saying. Omer Ravina, no, this is not a normal case. I'll tell you why. In this case, we cancel the rov. Because over here, you've got a reyes, you see. Mishum, the ikala memra, on the one hand, you're right to say that rov nashim betulot nisot. Okay, but there is a miut that are almanot, correct? So some women are marrying now a second marriage. Now, the problem is that if she were a betula, then kolani said betula yesh lakol. When people get married, a first marriage, they send out invitations, everybody remembers that there's somebody around. that remembers there was such a marriage, and that there was even that she, it was a regular marriage. So the very fact that there doesn't seem to be anybody that knows what's going on is itself an indication that this indeed was a second marriage. That's not a proof. You're right, it's not a proof. But it certainly makes you rethink the Rov. You're not going to say most marriages that nobody even heard happened are betulot. So therefore, you can no longer say this Rov, but maybe in Hinam, if not for that problem, then indeed the Mishnah would have said, like Rav, that we would have gone Basa the Rov. So therefore, since Kol HaNiseit Betula Yesh LaKol, since this one Ein LaKol, It LaRa LaRuba. So there's something wrong with her Rov. So think, well, there's something wrong with the way you just said that. It's not just something is wrong with the Rov. You said every woman who's Niseit Betula Yesh LaKol. So if every woman that is Niseit Betula Yesh LaKol, so then what good is Eidut? Then you're saying it's Vadai not a Rov, is what you're saying. And that, not that there's Itla Rov. You're saying that's impossible. I mean, Ikol HaNisot Betulot Yesh LaKol. So then, Ki Ika Edim, my Havi. Who cares about the witnesses? I mean, a Let LaKol, since there is no Kol, obviously these witnesses are not telling the truth. Why don't we say they are the Kol? Because they're not saying that she got married as a Betula. They're saying, oh, yeah, we remember she went out there with her hair uncovered. Was she a betula? Was it a regular wedding? I don't remember. If you don't remember, she didn't go out that way either, because then you wouldn't be the only ones. Everybody would remember that marriage. So therefore, you're just not being accurate. What do you mean you don't know? So, Mamela, we wouldn't pay attention. You're telling me, by definition, anybody who gets married, people know about it. So why doesn't anybody know if she was a betula? So therefore, you're going to have to restate that. Okay, I'll restate it, sorry. Rov hanisot betulot yesh lehem kol. It's most of the time they would have a kol. Now, since this one does not have a kol, v'zo ho'il ve'ein la kol, so therefore there's now a reyuta in the rov, and therefore, in this case, it appears that we go like Shmuel, but it's not that Shmuel is right that we don't follow a rov in dinei mamonut. It's that in this particular case, we have a contradiction, and therefore the rovs cancel each other out, and we're left essentially with the halacha of prove it or else. But maybe in Achinami, normally we would have said, like Rav. Let's see if we can bring a raya from the following. The second raya. Eved. That's in the siman. Toshma, hamocher eved lechavero. V'nimtza ganav of kuvyustas. Now you sell an eved. This eved turns out to be a ganav. Or it turns out to be a gambler or a kidnapper, different tratim. Higia, well, what'd you expect? You bought an eved and you expect him to be honest? I mean, obviously, you know, that's part of what an eved is. But, I mean, on the other hand, if he's found to be at least a mizuyan, you know, I mean, if he's an armed robber, he kills people, but it's not good because on his off time, he's going to get himself killed. You know, what, you don't want to buy a guy who's going to get himself killed. I mean, you're investing in a very poor investment. So then, or if he's Muqtav al-Malchut, you know, he's on the 10 most wanted list of the FBI, he's probably a dead duck in no time at all. You don't want to invest in that. So then he can turn to the seller, he could say, listen, Aresha Chalafanecha, please. Okay, so now, why do we say in the Resha that it was a good sale? Must be because my taima la mishum deruba hachayitno, and since most avadim are dishonest, so the seller can say, look, you know, I mean, if you wanted an honest eved, you should have specified and gone to honest eds to buy. I mean, what are you buying from me? It's still around, isn't it? That's amazing. It's still on Bathing?
It's not.
No. This is honest Ed. On Bathurst. Oh my God. This is like from when they opened 40 some years ago. Anyway, so my time. Lav Mishum Deruba Hachitna, which proves that indeed we go according to the Rov, which is what Rav said against Shmuel. No, it's because Kulu Hachitna. There ain't no such thing as an honest Eved. And that's not a Rov. That's by definition. You want an Eved, you're bringing in somebody who's going to be pocketing your wife's jewelry. I mean, there's nothing to do about it. So Mavela, you know, that's that you took into consideration, and it's nothing to do with our sukkah. Hamocher perot lechaveiro. Vizaran velot samchu afilu zera pishtan eno chayav bachrayutan. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer zerune gina she'inan ne'echalin chayav bachrayutan. Itmar hamocher shol lechaveiro v'nimtza nakhan. Rav amar reze mekach ta'ut u'shmul amar yachol omar lo reshchita machartiv lecha. Well, I mean, don't we have to look at the context? And either Radia, then it's the Radia. What's talking about? Well, if that's the case, wouldn't the money be indicative? So then what's the difference? Afgamina is who's going to have to sell the animal? The buyer or the seller? Latircha. Well, Echidami. Either leker l'shtalumi minei, or the other girsa is either letnu lahanu zuzei. Nafkamina is most important. So then liakiv tur bezuzei, because after all, amreinche, don't take any chances. Minbari reshutek parifra lo tzrichatika l'shtalumi minei. So Rav Amar is a mekach ta'ut, because bata ruba azlina, since ruba l'radia zavni, it's as if he specified, I wanted l'radia. Shmuel says that is meaningless in a monetary transaction, ki azlina bata ruba b'yisura, but b'mamona lo. Meitve, ha'ishashinit almanah nitgarsha, hi omeret betula nisati, v'hu omer lo, kela almanah nisatich, im yeshe dim shiatz'a b'hinu mavrosha parua. Then k'tuvatama time, so clearly time of the ike idim. Halek idim lo. But according to Rav, who says we should go even in mamon, according to the Rav, lema, why don't we say halek acharov anashim? And Rav nashim are certainly betulot nisot, it's their first marriage. Omravina mishum dikala meimar, it's true that Rav nashim betulot nisot. Nonetheless, miut almanot. And the problem is with your Rav, is that kol aniset betula yesh lakol. Wait a minute, what'd you say? Kol anisot betulot yeshlam kol. I mean, if you mean that literally, so then ki ika edim mayame, mitolet lakol, sadi shakri, you know. Sorry, you got me. Rov anisot betulot yeshlam kol. Vizu hoyo ve'in lakol. So now we've got basically two rovs cancel each other out, and we're left with the same situation as what Shmuel would have said. But otherwise, it's like Rav. Toshma, a mocher eved lechaveiro, v'nimtza ganav of kuviustus, higi'o, but if he's a listim mezuyan, or he's muchtav l'malchut, so omer lo ha'reishulcha lefanecha. So, reisha ma'itayma, it's gotta be, because it's as if you specified, right? Because la mishum deruba hachi itnahu, and so that's the way it is. No, it's mishum kulo hachi itnahu.